My guest at this time is Kansas Republican Congressman Tim Huelskamp, who represents his state's 1st Congressional District. He joins me now to discuss the fierce political battle he faces as primary day in the Sunflower State looms this coming Tuesday, August 2nd. Huelskamp still has a bullseye on his back, courtesy of the Republican leadership. After surviving a tough primary challenge in 2014, he's going through it all again in a challenge from Dr. Roger Marshall. And Congressman Huelskamp, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. I'd love to visit about what's going on out here.
Why do you believe your own party and its leaders still want to see you defeated?
Well, I think we see that in the presidential race as well, where you have a whole cadre of Washington insiders that they like to campaign as conservatives. But when you actually vote that way and then fight that way and try to do what we promise us do as Republicans, I think it upsets the insiders. And so we have more than $1 million coming in against us in one congressional race over basically a 3-week period from folks in Washington, D.C., Uber billionaires out of Chicago, folks out of New Jersey, New York, I'm guessing money from California, none of them from Kansas. But coming in here and attacking me and slandering me and saying all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I'm a proven conservative. Every major conservative group has endorsed us, and many of them are jumping in to help us. On the other side, I think it goes back to John Boehner, who lost his job, and plenty of other insiders that, have created me these problems together with Democrats in Washington.
Congressman, from what I've seen since your last election, you've made a point of highlighting those instances that you do see eye to eye and can find common ground with Republican leaders. How surprised are you that they're still this active in trying to defeat you compared to where you were 2 or even 4 years ago?
Well, my congressional district is right in the heart of America. Literally, the geographical center of the entire country is right here in the 1st District of Kansas. And I think what they're trying to do, the Washington insiders, and this is a Republican establishment, what they're trying to do is if they can take out a conservative in the heartland of America, and then they send a message to my 40 or 50 or 60 conservative colleagues in the House and says, you know what, it's time to do exactly what leadership tells us to do. And, you know, but I told John Boehner after he kicked me off the Ag Committee and said, Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, I don't work for you. I work for the people back home. But they are coming in. They want to tell us how to vote, but on particular issues as well. I think the U.S. Chamber is in for one reason, because I won't vote for amnesty. You know, I won't vote to raise the debt ceiling, some of these other super PACs. They want to borrow more money, spend more money. Wall Street's a great example. Wall Street's kicking in hundreds of thousands of dollars, and at the end of the day, they're right. I'm not working for Wall Street. I'm working for Main Street. So I think it's a real battle for the future of the Republican Party. But again, I repeat, we see this in the presidential race as well. The major super PAC coming after Tim Huelskamp is a group that helped Hillary in Iowa. They ran ads to help Hillary win in Iowa. They've run super PAC ads, millions of dollars, going after Donald Trump. They're going after any outsider and trying to help the insiders. And frankly, that's what's wrong with Washington. You got a bunch of insiders that have one set of rules for themselves that they impose on the rest of us separately. And that's why I think Donald Trump's our nominee, and that's why we have this big battle over the future of Republicans in the Congress.
You mentioned a couple of things in that previous response, Congressman, that I want to get to, because it's certainly at the heart of your opponent's campaign. You do have a huge district. I believe if you put the other districts in Kansas together, your district would be bigger than all of them combined. And as you mentioned, a few years ago, you were stripped from your spot on the House Agriculture Committee for bucking leadership too many times as they saw it. And while you don't see that as fair, and a lot of your allies don't either, how has that impacted your ability to deliver for your agricultural district? And how do you convince voters that you're the better candidate for farm issues despite not being on that committee? Because Dr. Marshall is saying that not being on that committee means that the district is lacking leadership on one of the key issues. How do you respond to that?
Well, I will be back on the Ag Committee. That's the change we've seen. That's being misrepresented by the U.S. Chamber. And frankly, U.S. Chambers never cared much what happened on the Ag Committee. And all of a sudden, according to them, that's a very important committee. But I tell you, it's not an important committee to the U.S. Chamber. But I'm actually on the steering committee, Greg, that actually makes the committee assignments. When we got rid of John Boehner, we changed the rules in the House so one speaker couldn't run everything. And speaker still has incredible power. But Paul Ryan agreed we're going to diffuse power. and take it out of the speaker's hands and distribute it. So I was elected to the steering committee that actually makes those decisions as a representative of conservatives in the House. So we have that slot, and we're going to get back on the Ag Committee after we win this race with help from around the country. But again, it comes down to where we're going to head as a Republican Party. These Washington insiders have participated in the problem. You know, under John Boehner, they added $5 trillion of new debt. You can't blame it all on Obama, because that all went through the U.S. House. And in many cases under John Boehner, it was a minority of Republicans teamed up with Nancy Pelosi to pass increases in the debt ceiling, to pass massive increases in spending, to not do anything about Obamacare. That's what people say. Well, what are they doing in Washington? I said, well, they're running for cover. Every time the president stands up and says no, they duck and run the other way. But what we promised in 2010, what we promised in 2012 and in 2014 and 2016 is exactly what I've delivered on. And so that's the attacks from insiders who basically are worried that, you know, Republicans are going to do what they promised to do. And frankly, in visiting with the U.S. Chamber, one thing they have told me is, they can't decide whether they're going to support Hillary or Trump. What kind of conservative business group would be sitting on the sidelines in a presidential race that's going to dictate the future of all kinds of things, including control of the U.S. Supreme Court? So, but I'm very clear. I am a proven conservative, endorsed by every pro-life group, every conservative group that does endorsements, NRA, and they're coming out. But at the end of the day, when you got $1 million coming in from super PACs tied to Washington insiders, it's going to be a tough battle. But again, it's not about me, not about one district, but it's about the future of Congress and the future of the Republican Party. Will we let insiders continue to run this party in Washington? I sure hope not.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Congressman. First of all, is there any polling on this primary? And right now, where do you stand if there is?
Our polling that we have internally, and we released that 10 days ago, showed us with a good solid lead. However, since then, the U.S. Chamber has jumped in. This super PAC out of Chicago, owned by Uber billionaires, has jumped in as well. So this could be the most expensive primary in the country when it's all done. So it's a ground game. One of these super PACs, again, the super PAC that helped Hillary Clinton, this is tied to the Ricketts family in Chicago, we believe. They've done at least 33 different mailers in parts of the district, just slamming us, lying about us, you know. But that's actually, I guess, a good sign, because they still understand that if you want to win in America as a Republican, you at least have to claim you're conservative. So the problem with Tim Hillskamp, according to John Boehner and other leaders, is not only did Tim Hillskamp claim to be a conservative, campaign as a conservative, but he's been fighting against Obama as conservative. You know, I often say, you know, we might need to change the mascot for Republicans in Washington to a possum, because for far too long, for 5 years, they've just gotten ran over and laid dead along the road and done nothing, and let this president run the table. And we're going to push back, and we're going to win this thing, but we need some help. And I know folks are coming in from all across the country with conservative endorsements, folks coming in. We need some folks on the ground, because this is for control of the Republican Party in Washington. That's why these liberal insiders are coming after me.
Well, my own unsolicited opinion is that the Ricketts family should keep pumping money into the Cubs. That seems to be working, so a little more might not hurt.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, as a Kansas City Royals fan, we won a World Series. They haven't. We've actually won two over the years. But absolutely. Why would folks in Chicago be pumping money into Kansas, or folks in New Jersey, or folks in London? One guy wrote a $100,000 check with a corporate office in London. They're trying to buy this election, and my opponent also, he is a moderate to liberal Republican, depending on the issue, depending on the day, but he himself has put in nearly $300,000 to try to buy this seat. And so a few million together, and it is a real battle.
Talk about that just a little bit more. You've talked about the special interests that have moved in. We've talked about the Republican leadership. You briefly mentioned that you see your opponent, Dr. Marshall, as kind of middle to liberal Republican. What do you see as the biggest distinctions between you two?
Well, I'm 100% pro-life. He has a long, multi-decade association with pro-abortion group, also, you know, I want to fully repeal Obamacare. He has said he doesn't want to repeal it. He says he does want to repeal it. He's all over the map. He says whatever he wants people to hear. I am pro Second Amendment. I am the endorsement of every pro Second Amendment group in the country that does endorsements, because they're worried about what Roger Marshall will do. And I also have the endorsement of Senator Pat Roberts, who's the only man in history to be the chairman of the House and Senate Ag Committee. And so I think that's a trump card on many of these ag endorsements. But mainly, most importantly, is I'm a fifth-generation farmer. I go back and forth to Washington every week, and I go to church in Kansas, and my kids are in school in Kansas, our farm's in Kansas, and we're going to continue to do that. Last thing we need is more insiders who are going to make a home in Washington instead of home back in their district.
Congressman, we'll be watching Tuesday. Thanks very much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Congressman Tim Huelskamp represents his state's 1st Congressional District. Primary day in the Sunflower State is Tuesday, August 2nd. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.